If you have a handout, hopefully you picked one up, there's a front and back to it. Go ahead and turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 20. I know it seems like it's taken us a long time to get to the 20s, but we won't get to the 30s. So, only 28 chapters, and we're getting close to the end, as one would say. Beginning in chapter 20 is going to make a subtle but pivotal point in not only the life of the church, but the life of Paul. Paul, up to this point, has gone out on three commissioned missions trips, and we've diagrammed all of those closely, and on the back of what you have the third missionary journey, and you'll see at 1, 2, and 3, and it's kind of got it mapped out so you can, these circles here. He starts in Antioch and he retraces till he gets to Antioch Poseidon, which is different from Antioch Syria. On his second missionary trip, he made his way north from there. Although he was pushing to go west, the Holy Spirit, we don't know exactly whether it was weather circumstances or what actually drove him up north along the coastline there, up to Troas and then across into Macedonia and eventually down to Corinth, over to Ephesus, and he didn't stay there very long, and then he made his way back. Now, on his third missionary journey, when he gets to Antioch Poseidon, he makes his way into the number three area there, Ephesus, which was a predominant city at that time. And remember, we said Jerusalem, Antioch, Syria and Ephesus are going to be major hubs of the birthing of the church, with Jerusalem where the apostles are, the original 12, and then Antioch's going to be kind of the missionary hub, and from there they're going to go out, and then Ephesus, which is in that circular area there where the seven churches are, that the seven letters in Revelation was written. But as I was reviewing this information, it kind of dawned on me, and I have a bad habit of doing this, that I have worked diligently in my studies to piece stuff together that seems to be scattered when you study. And so I like to kind of summarize it and put the parts together. You get a little bit from, you know, Acts, and you get a little bit from Romans, and some from First and Second Thessalonians, and a little bit from Colossians, and sometimes you lose sight of that as you're reading, you know, kind of the timeline. So what I did is I kind of summarized for you on the back, because we're going to go from the birth of the church to, that's going to continue, but Luke's focus in his writing in Acts is going to become more personal with Paul's life and what Paul's trying to do, as well as what God is doing as well. So if you'll remember, this is kind of a summation of, in Acts chapter 7, Paul is persecuting the church, and he's going around. He gives his approval for the stoning of Stephen, and that's about 34 A.D. He's on the Damascus Road, and the resurrected Lord Jesus Christ appears to him. Paul gets saved. He stays and preaches in Damascus. He spent some time in Arabia, and then he returned back to Damascus. Then he traveled down to Jerusalem and met briefly with Peter and James. Then he moved on to Troas, which was his kind of his home base of operations. And he stayed there for about 6 years, from 37 to 43 A.D. Now, you may have missed this, but when right after Paul got saved, he spent 3 years there training. And God saw to it that he got trained before he started his ministry. Then he got an invitation from Barnabas, and he went to Antioch, Syria, which becomes the headquarters for the missions. And they go out on their first missionary journey, 48 to 49 A.D. And then we've traced that whole first missionary journey. He returns back to Antioch. And while he's in Antioch on that return, after the first missionary journey and before the Jerusalem Council. So you will have to decide in your own study whether Paul wrote before or after the Jerusalem Council the book of Galatians. But he wrote the book of Galatians, which was, if you believe that he wrote it before the Jerusalem Council, which is in Acts chapter 15, then you would put a date of 49 A.D. If he wrote it after the Jerusalem Council, you probably have a date of 55 A.D. Now, there's also a thing called, if you get into more study, whether he wrote to southern Galatia or northern Galatia. And depending on which view you take will determine when you date the letter. I personally date it, and most scholars date the writing of Galatians in Antioch by Paul in 49 A.D. because he doesn't even mention the Jerusalem Council in Galatians. And it would seem logical that if he wrote post the Jerusalem Council, that he would have mentioned the Jerusalem Council, because what is the book of Galatians about? It's about our freedom, our liberty in Christ. What was the Jerusalem Council about? Whether Gentiles had to be circumcised and obey the laws and become Jews before they could become Christians. Now, let me tell you, if the Jerusalem Council has already settled that they don't, and you're writing a book that's dealing with our freedoms in Christ, I think you're going to refer to the Jerusalem Council, that the apostles have already settled that issue. So that's why I picked the earlier date. And then Paul begins his second missionary journey, and we know the history behind him and Barnabas separating and going their different ways because of John Mark. And the second missionary journey happens in 52 A.D. through Asia Minor and further westward to the Roman province of Macedonia and Achaia. And from Corinth, Paul writes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians in A.D. 51. Now, we talked about all that when we went through, but you may have, forgot. You ever forget? Yeah. I had somebody the other day on the phone. I had called them and left them a message on Monday, and they called me back yesterday late and asked me what I had called about. And I said, I don't remember. And they said, well, it must not have been important. I said, no. I've forgotten a lot of important stuff before. And so forgetting doesn't have to do with something being important. But you may have forgotten, and may be or may not be important. But in Corinth, Paul writes 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. He then proceeded to Ephesus by ship. Remember, this is where he meets Priscilla and Aquila in Corinth, who are tent makers. And God's whole plan is unraveled, and we now kind of go, oh, okay, now I see God's big picture of why his timing was different than what Paul's timing. And that's something that we all need to learn. God's timing and our timing, our plans and God's plans may not match up the way we think they ought to match up, but this matches up. God doesn't make any mistakes. So he proceeds to Ephesus by ship, and he finished his second missionary journey, and he heads back to Antioch, which is the head. From there, he set out on his third missionary journey, where we are now, A.D. 53 to 57. And he spent 3 years in Ephesus. Remember that? Yeah. And everywhere he goes, what happens? He goes to the synagogues, and they get upset. They come after Paul. So if you're being persecuted for preaching the truth, you're in good company. They persecuted Christ, they persecuted Paul, persecuted Peter, James, Timothy. So if you stand and proclaim the word, don't think everybody's going to throw you a Super Bowl party. They're not. So passing through Asia Minor, he arrives in Ephesus where he labored for 3 years. And during this time, he wrote 1 Corinthians. While he's in Ephesus, he writes 1 Corinthians, AD 56. And then finally, Paul leaves Ephesus and travels by land to Macedonia. And this is where we are now. All right? So keep your place there, and you can flip your paper over if you want to make a little mark there, and look at chapter 20, verse 1. And the uproar had ceased. The uproar about Demetrius and those that were selling goods for Artemis and making a living and all of that, the mob and the mob mentality and all of that had ceased. Remember, they kept Paul from going in the synagogue. Paul sent for the disciples. That's the disciples that he had back when he arrived in Ephesus. In first verse of chapter 19, says it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the upper country and came to Ephesus and found some disciples. So the mob calms down. Paul sends back for his disciples. And when he had exhorted them, he had encouraged them, he had challenged them, he took leave of them, and he left to go to Macedonia. So he's going to go back over to basically the track of the second missionary journey where he had some problems before. So he goes back over there. So that's where it says in this little summation I'm giving you on the back of your notes on page 2. He goes from there to Macedonia, and while where he wrote 2 Corinthians in AD 56, he continued south and spent the winter of AD 56-57 in Corinth, and there he wrote the book of Romans. All right? Now, notice what it says in verse 2 of chapter 20. When he had gone through those districts, he had given them much exhortation. He came to Greece. Where's Corinth? You keep playing that bad to the bone at East Carolina stuff, man, but I'm going to start calling you in here. That's the Lord. Well, I guess I'll be quiet and wait to hear what he has to say. And then in verse 3, so he's in Corinth. That's where he writes to the Romans. You following what I'm trying to do here? I'm trying to give you a little bit of the picture. You know, you read these accounts, and unless you put the pieces of the puzzle together by going over and reading other sections, like, you know, you go to 1 Corinthians. I think it's worth going there. Keep your place there. Go to 1 Corinthians. It's right before 2 Corinthians. Right after Romans. That ought to help you. Romans is right after Acts. Good job. So you ain't got to go too far. So we're going to go to chapter 16. Chapter 16 and look at verse 5. This is where you have to kind of dig if you're going to piece all this stuff together. It says, but I will come to you after I go through Macedonia. Now, where is he? Where did he write 1 Corinthians from? All right, let me keep reading for you. For I am going through Macedonia, and perhaps I will stay with you or even spend the winter. And he's going to do that, right? So that you may send me on my way whenever I may go. For I do not wish to see you now just in passing, for I hope to remain with you for some time if the Lord permits. Guess what Lord permits is? Deo volante in Latin. But I will remain in Ephesus until Pentecost. See that? So that's where you kind of pick up some of this information. All right. So we go back to verse 3 of chapter 20 in Acts. And there he spent 3 months down in Corinth. And when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, Paul cannot escape the plots. And he was about to set sail for Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. So if you got your map there, go up to number 4. He's gonna leave Ephesus, he's going to go to Troas, 7. He's going to go across to Macedonia, number 4. Then he's going to travel all the way down to Corinth, number 5. You see that? All right? So there's a plot against him. So instead of leaving Corinth and sailing back to Jerusalem where he wants to go, now why does he want to go to Jerusalem? He wants to get there for the Passover. Now what happens a week after the Passover? The Feast of Unleavened Bread. All right? And that's going to become important in this section as well. So instead of going from Corinth and sailing, he retraces his steps back through Macedonia, and it's going to say that some people accompanied him. All these people with hard names to pronounce. So, and there he spent 3 months in verse 3, and when a plot was formed against him by the Jews, as he was about to set sail from Syria, he decided to return through Macedonia. Now, if you'll notice, Paul adapts, God prevails is the name of this. Paul is staying open to the leading of the Lord, and he is adapting. He's changing his plans. I've got this little saying in a message when I preach this. And it's very difficult for me because I like plans and I like to stick to them. But God says, so to speak, he's probably that's what he's telling Sammy when he called, write your plans in pencil and hand God the eraser. Because he may have something else in mind. So you need to allow your plans to be a little bit fluid, right? Which is very difficult for people that are type A personalities. Verse 4. And he was accompanied. Now, this is talking about as he made his way down to Corinth. All right? As he goes through Macedonia and heads south, he's picking up people that he is exhorting and instructing. So he picks up, verse 4, and he was accompanied by Sopater of Berea. And you can see those towns as you go down there. You got Thessalonica, Berea. He picked up Pyrrhus and Aristarchus and Secundus of the Thessalonians and Gaius of Derbe and Timothy and Tychicus and Trophimus of Asia. So he picks all these guys up and they're traveling and he's teaching, he's discipling, he's equipping them. So when he hears that, when they're down in Corinth, that a plot, he's going to make his way back up Macedonia, back up north, but he sends these guys ahead. In fact, he sends them ahead to Troas, which is back across the water, back to verse 7. Why, you know, I asked myself, I wonder why Paul sent them ahead for their safety. It's easier, count them here. You got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 guys. And then you take Paul is 10. That's pretty easy to spot 10 guys traveling together. They're after Paul. Paul's concerned about their safety. He sends them ahead, gets them out of Macedonia all the way over to Troas. Verse 5. But these had gone ahead and were waiting for us at Troas. Whoa, wait a minute. Who's us? I thought he got rid of all of them. Any clue who us is? Who's writing this? Luke. Anytime that Luke is with Paul and he wants you to understand that once he uses we, when he's talking about Timothy and Silas, Paul and Luke, he says, we went. Here he says, waiting for us, Luke, an eyewitness writing this. Then in verse 6 he says, we sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread. So he missed what? He missed the Passover. And he came to them at Troas within 5 days, and they stayed there 7 days. So he gets to Troas within 5 days after they go ahead of him, and then they stay there for 7 days. Now, here's where every pastor loves this section right here, and every listener hates it. On the first day of the week, which is Sunday, when we were gathered together to break bread, that means celebrate the Lord's Supper, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. And he prolonged his message until midnight. Yep, that's where people say, you know, I'm not sure the Bible's inerrant. Verse 8, there were many lamps in the upper room where, now that's not the upper room that Jesus had, it's a different upper room. Where we were gathered together, and there was a young man named, and another hard name, Eutychus. Eutychus is sitting in the windowsill. Probably a light breeze. It's about midnight. Maybe the moon's out. Crickets are chirping. And he sinks into a deep sleep. If I preach to midnight, all of us are going to be asleep. And I might be the one that's dead. And as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep. Not Paul, but Eutychus. He was overcome by sleep and fell down from the third floor and was picked up dead. Now, I'm not a good preacher, but I hadn't killed anybody in my preaching yet. But Paul went down and fell on him. Who does this remind you of? Elijah and Elisha in Kings. Where they, you know, they laid out and healed people and raised them from the dead. And he says, but Paul went down and fell on them, and after embracing him, he said, do not be troubled, for his life is in him. when he had gone back up and had broken the bread and eaten, he talked with them a long while until daybreak and then left. They stayed up all night talking about things of the Lord. When was the last time you did that? What, on a camp trip, camping trip? The youth will do that. You know, they'll do those lock-ins. I'm not a big proponent of lock-ins, at least if I'm the one being locked up with them. And then in verse 12, it says they took away the boy alive and were greatly confronted. Now, what we learn here, I believe, is that Paul had intentions to go to Jerusalem. That didn't work out. They're after him to plot, and Paul really, if you go back and read in Romans chapter 15 and 16, Paul is talking about his main objective is he wants to get to Spain. But what we're going to see is, and I'm not sure Paul got to Spain, but what we see from here on out, instead of Paul impacting individuals in churches and in the synagogues, God's going to use him to impact rulers of nations and countries. And it's going to cost Paul a great deal. What do you think it's going to cost him? Shipwreck, beatings, and ultimately in Rome and off with his head. Now, Paul had dual citizenship, Jewish and Roman. Who else was martyred in Rome? Peter. How was Peter martyred? Crucified, but upside down, because he did not consider himself worthy to be crucified as his Savior Christ. So, he requested to be martyred upside down in his crucifixion. Now, the Romans are the ones that brought crucifixion as a way of capital punishment. Christ was crucified. So Paul was given a choice, crucifixion or being beheaded. Well, if you know anything about how you die with a crucifixion, beheaded is a whole lot more humane. And so Paul chose, since he was a Roman citizen, he chose to be beheaded, and he was beheaded. But the main point here, as we go further, is for you to understand that Paul's audience is going to change dramatically. He's still going to be involved with churches and believers, but he's going to appear in chains most of the time in front of high-ranking officials that he can impact for the cause of the gospel. And we'll see that whole shift. It's a subtle shift right here in chapter 20, and a lot of people miss it, but right here is where the shift takes place. Any questions about what we've covered tonight? Hopefully that information on the back's helpful. And I would encourage you to do your own timeline, you know, fill in stuff. It'll really help you to be able to read something and understand where it occurs on the timeline. And then when you go to another book and read, you can, you know, kind of, without jumping back and forth, you can mentally jump back and forth with what's going on. All right. Thank you for coming. Stay warm. And see you Sunday. Deo volante.